How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to the show. If you're just joining us, welcome to it. It is 9:18 here on a Monday morning. Hope you had a nice weekend. We're starting another week with a Sens game on a Monday. This has been pretty commonplace over the past couple of months in particular. Simmer is off today, off for the week, as a matter of fact, sitting in today into his fourth hour. He's 3 hours and 18 minutes. He wasn't sure he'd be able to go 4 hours. He could probably go 18. Oh, he is going to have to go 18 hours today. Our Sens analyst, Jamie Baker, has been kind enough to sit in this morning.
Enjoyable working with you guys.
Has it?
Yes, it has.
You know what? Your voice said one thing. Your facial expression as you're looking at me right now.
This is radio. No one can see my face.
I know, so I'm trying to describe it. It is more quizzical than anything else.
I'm not
busting in what you're saying.
Worry if I'm not busting your chops a little bit.
Okay.
Then you worry.
Well, what have you learned this morning?
What have I learned?
What have you learned from...
How organized you guys are. I didn't know that you were... I found out you get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. That's impressive.
That's what he says.
And what time do you arrive?
I'm in here at 3:30.
That's what
3:30.
He says. That's what he says.
3:30 in the morning.
Nobody's a witness to it.
Nobody
you
knows.
That's what we have passes for. So you can see what time my pass gets clicked.
There is a way to finagle with that.
How are you going to finagle? It's not security guard. He's fast asleep, so he's not doing it.
Wait, did the security guy have the head nods going when you walked in this morning?
I didn't see him. I didn't even look over.
You
know what I noticed?
Do
you want to know what I noticed? Because the escalator is usually not working when I'm here.
Yes.
I'm like, oh, the escalator's working. So I didn't.
That means he was awake.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Yeah, they have to remember to turn it on. They turn it off for, save some power, save some money.
I get it.
Yep.
But I'm more often than not, the escalator's not working, which I'm actually fine with. It's just a set of stairs.
It is.
But I'm like, oh, the escalator actually does work. That's interesting. So that was what caught my, And then I did know that you guys had coffee here, which was nice. I brought my own, but that's good to know.
The Flex Brew, too.
You're planning on being back on Wednesday.
Yeah, coming back on Wednesday.
Are
so
you still?
And 4 hours goes by, 4 hours goes by pretty quickly.
You know, keep
it going. You keep it fresh.
Sometimes in the dead of summer.
I bet.
The 4 hours can sometimes,
Hockey season's probably better being.
Well,
there's so much to talk about.
Year, there's a million things going on, right?
Yeah, it is. This is the best time of year.
Is it? Better than the fall?
I think so.
Fall, you got football.
I love
and
the
hockey,
NFL, but
starting.
I got, when you're in the NHL playoffs, you've got the Masters.
Uh-huh.
Baseball starting. You got the NBA playoffs, F1.
Hello, friends.
There you go.
You sure you don't want to hear the
Easter weekend?
I know.
I'll be visiting my daughter in Burlington, Vermont.
Will you watch golf with her?
The hope is to sneak in a little bit of golf, but I am there to spend time with my daughter. And I know for a fact that she is not a golf fan.
Oh, yeah.
So if I'm watching golf, then I'm not spending time with her. So I don't anticipate watching a lot on Saturday.
My wife.
And
not,
she's not listening to this, so I'm okay by saying that.
Well, you never know. My wife, also not a huge golf fan, although she's taken up the game a little bit, but enjoys the scenery of the Masters. Like, there is just the visual, aspect of it. Pretty spectacular.
I
call it the unofficial start to an Ottawa spring. Watching the Masters.
I booked the trip to Vermont or planned the trip to Vermont without looking at the golf schedule.
Mm. Well, this is the rare time in which Easter and the Masters are on the same weekend.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, doesn't happen that often.
Okay.
Because I've also had to sort of finagle Easter dinner around, which I think I've...
JR excuses himself?
No, what I think I've done is I've been able to, and thankfully, one of my daughters is a nurse. She's just started her nursing at CHEO, and she has to work for most of the long weekend. She's free on the Friday. So I think we're going to have Easter dinner on Good Friday. Huh?
That opens things up for Sunday.
He shoots, he scores. Henderson has scored for Canada. Yeah. Anyway.
Are you ham?
I like a good ham. Don't find that there's a lot of people that are ham fans.
Okay.
You?
Yep. I like ham. Ham, scalloped potatoes, and whatever else. I'm good with that.
Okay.
You in a Masters pool? You going to be in a Masters pool?
Had not planned on it. Are you inviting me to one?
Nope.
Okay.
I was going to actually ask if I could be in the one you're in. if you want to know the truth.
Tell you what, you and I will...
I'm not kidding.
You and I will have our own separate pool.
Yeah.
Pick 10 golfers. I'm good for that.
Yeah.
I got 20. I got 10 bucks. No, maybe I got five, Bernardo.
Do a 20 spot.
Unsigned writes, Jamie Baker is the effing man. He's going toe-to-toe with the JR this morning.
Trying to keep you in your saddle and in your place.
JR, am I the only one that thinks Dave Poulin is the ideal guy to lead the Flyers organization going forward? Thoughts? That comes from Dave.
He's a
very smart guy.
Really good hockey mind. Really good hockey mind.
And if you think about somebody who has, if an important part for someone leading an NHL organization is a vast array of experiences, we're talking about a guy who played the game at the highest level for a lot of years, coached 10 years NCAA at Notre Dame, you know, frontline university program, okay, was a scout, was an assistant general manager for a couple of different organizations, including the Leafs, and not that necessarily broadcasting leads you to anything, but you're still in the game.
Being a hockey insider is a lot of work. You're not just following one team. You got to know what's going on throughout the course of the league. You're talking about different players and matchups, different coaching styles. So you got to be extremely knowledgeable, which he is.
Timmer writes, okay, boys, I thought you guys were a sports station. This morning I've heard about hockey, curling, golf, basketball. I didn't hear one single word about the first Canadian athlete who this past weekend made it to the pinnacle of his sport. Yes, I'm talking about Jeff Gussie Gustafson winning the Super Bowl of professional bass fishing, the Bassmaster Classic. Gussie led wire to wire in tough conditions and didn't even spill his beer. Pick it up, boys. That's from Timmer. Hammer, how do we not have highlights of the Bassmaster Classic?
You know, I went, you're right. This is my fault.
You were
supposedly
in
all about it.
3:30 this morning.
And unfortunately, the Bassmasters, copyright infringement. Bassmasters don't like
we're
other media outlets.
No.
No, so I don't have any celebration of largemouth or smallmouth bass.
Where is therefore is the classic Saturday Night Live line of that's terrific bass?
That's delicious bass. It's coming.
Is that a true story, by the way?
But what?
The Bassmaster Classic?
That's a true story, yes.
Is it? Because
it was all over, I think it was TSN4. They had wall to wall coverage
live
this
television?
Weekend of fishing.
Of fishing.
Yeah. Anytime I look through, because I was, you know, I watched some baseball, I watched some hockey. I watched some hockey that wasn't Sens. I watched some basketball, but always, I'm pretty sure it was TSN4.
Yeah.
Maybe Sportsnet. Bassmasters. It was there. I didn't watch any
of it. And the Canadian guy won it.
Do we have a name for the Canadian
guy?
Yeah,
Gustafson.
That's
Gussie Gustafson.
He's amazing. I have his shirt.
Are you a fisherman, Bakes?
I'm not.
A fisher? No.
I am not.
You know what?
Here's the thing. I grew up and we had a cottage on Golden Lake. And there just wasn't a lot of good fishing. So you're basically sitting in a boat. So I used to go out. When I got older, I'd go out, sit in the boat, have a couple of beers. That was fun. But waiting half an hour to catch a small perch wasn't my – I just never caught on. But I've never gone deep-sea fishing, so I don't – you know, I – it's not fair if you haven't tried all the different varieties, ways of fishing. So
I hear you.
Lake fishing on a lake that's not stocked full of fish, don't enjoy it.
Yeah. What's your favorite lure, JR?
Glenn Thompson, Five of Diamonds.
Of course it is.
It's the only
Are you a fisherman?
No.
No. You're a golfer.
Exactly. You gotta be. It's one or the other. You can't be both. Can't be good at both, and I'm good at neither.
What's your handicap? What was your handicap last year?
I got down to about a 7.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Hey, Bakes, have you hit a hole in one?
3.
What?
3. Never won the lottery, but I've got 3 hole in ones.
What?
That's amazing. Like, anybody can do it once, right?
Am I correct
in that?
So, the first one I got was at Kanata Lakes. I was a member.
That's where I got mine.
Well, what's the long par 5? Is that 9?
Yeah.
So, I got it on 8.
Okay, yeah, with the water on
Back
left.
Then, it was 17.
Okay.
Back then, it was 17. I got one at Silver Creek in San Jose. I was using a golf ball that Julie Inkster had given me. It was about 165 yards downhill.
Yeah. Like a good shot that actually like one bouncing in, like not one of these ones that was along the ground the entire way.
Nope, it was a good shot. And the third one was, I don't know how many years ago, but
here we go.
It was my first round.
Do you see this, JR? He's hit so many he forgets.
No,
them.
This is going to be. It was on a par three course, which doesn't count. Go ahead.
What? Certainly.
See,
does.
This is the thing when you start assuming. And start projecting what the story and where it's
I
going.
I know where this story is going.
This is the most incredibly lucky. It's ridiculous. I hadn't played. It was my first round after the hockey season. I hadn't played. Hadn't touched a club. Hadn't gone to hit balls in 4 or 5 months. I'm playing with a good friend of mine, Brian Inkster, at Los Altos Golf and Country Club. Julie Inkster's husband. He's a good friend.
Oh, look at you.
So we're playing at the course that he was the director of golf there. The first hole was a par five. I think I got a 9 or a 10 on it. I couldn't even hit the ball. I hadn't hit the ball at all.
Solid start.
Second hole, par four, get a 7 or 8. Don't care. Not worried about it. It's my first round, whatever. Third hole, 190-yard par three. I use my hybrid. and Brian... There's three of us playing. Two of us are on the tee box. Brian Inkster's sitting in the cart. At this point, he's already bored at how brutal I am. So he's not even watching my swing to fix it.
Yeah.
And I hit the ball, and I start – it has like – it's coming right to left. I'm a lefty, so it's got a little fade. And it's heading towards the green. I start walking towards the cart, and the other guy says, I think it went in the hole. And I said, if it went in the effing hole, I'm not keeping the scorecard. Because it's so embarrassing. And that was it. That's what I said. We're done. We walk up and it's not on the green. I'm like, where's the ball? And he goes, I think it might have gone in the hole. It went in the hole. My third hole that year. That was the furthest of all three. So, anyway.
So the scorecard would have read 9-7-1.
There is no scorecard. As I said, walking from the tee to the cart, I will not keep this scorecard.
Wow.
The scorecard and the ball were not kept. But it is a true story.
Good for you. Three holes in one.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that is
for a very average to poor golfer.
It's so much better than one, like three times better than one.
I would rather trade one of those in for the lottery. Any day of the week.
Well, sure.
But you got to buy lottery tickets.
Yeah. How many of those golf balls of your hole-in-ones do you still have beside your bed, like on your nightstand?
I don't even know. I think I got one on a plaque. That's it.
It's just happened so much, right?
Probably the first one.
Yeah, after a while, it's old hat.
Not
you're
so
just
special.
Like, oh, ho-hum. Yeah. By the third one, you're just going, yeah, I know. I know how it feels.
Okay, listen. You guys go ahead. That's fine. I got one. That
And you thought it was a par three, and little did you know it was like 190 yards.
Well, there's a story here. No, that's solid. Listen.
I know you got yours, your first one last year.
I have mad respect.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You've heard it enough on this show.
No, I barely bring it up. Now, when golf season rolls around again, hopefully in a month, I may bring it up again. Maybe. We'll wrap up this golf conversation and get back to the sins in a second. Is a hole-in-one on a par three course a legit hole-in-one,
no.
In Jamie Baker's opinion?
No.
Why not?
Because you're only playing par threes. And
you're increasing your odds. I just see that as smart play.
And typically they're shorter holes, aren't they? Not always,
not
maybe.
Not always, but yeah.
I think it has to be on a regulation course, in my mind. I'm okay with other people having a different opinion.
If you didn't have three and had zero and got one on a par three course, would
nothing
you
would
say,
change in my opinion. Nope.
Would
nothing.
You, would you? So if someone you asked you, it. If you,
I would
had,
be mad. I'd be mad that it happened on the par three and didn't happen on a regular.
So
course.
If someone asked you if you had none and then you got one on a par three course, hey, Bakes, ever had a hole in one? You would say,
kind of. I holed out on a par three, but it was a par three course. That would be my answer.
Okay. So you sound like a legit golfer. Would, if you, on a par three, if you hit the first one in the water and teed up another one and put it in, people actually count that as a hole in one, even though technically it's
a
three.
That's trash. That's garbage. No way.
That's a three.
Yeah.
Well, I would tell someone I holed out from the tee on a par three, but unfortunately it was for par, not for one.
Yeah.
When I wrote it down on my card, it was a three.
Yes.
Which is not a one.
Okay. Boy, that would stink.
Yes.
I would hate for that to happen.
You're a non-golfer.
Yeah, I'm a non-golfer.
If you did that, would you say you got a hole in one?
No, I would say I would say that's not a hole in one, but my hole in one on a par three, if and should, on a par three course, that would count without a doubt. Hitting into the water and then hitting, no way.
So let me ask you this: would you rather get a 2 on a par 5 or a 1 on a par 3?
I'd rather get a 1 on a par 3. Okay. Yeah. Even though a 2 on a par 5 is actually more rare.
Yes. And more strokes off for your round.
That's true. That's a good
point. It's more beneficial for your score.
That's a good point. Have you had one? Known as an albatross?
Yes. I have not.
Me either. Bakes is looking at me.
You have to play to actually get one.
I need to get some pars first before... Well, we're working our way towards it.
If you count a hole in one on a par three course, you have to count it in mini putt. Otherwise, you're a hypocrite. Regular courses only.
That's ridiculous. Mini putt. That's with a putter. Get
not
out
in hole in one. Does a simulator count? That's from Alex. Hole in one on a simulator. Oh, I can't wait for golf season. All right, we'll take a break. Then we'll come back. We got Sens and Panthers coming up for you tonight. We'll set up the game. Don't forget, Gary Bettman, NHL commissioner, is scheduled to join Steve Lloyd on our pregame show tonight at 5 o'clock. Of course, he's in town as the Sens sail inches toward completion. The commissioner will meet with the mayor today, scheduled to meet with the NCC as well, and be at the game tonight as well. So we'll come back, we'll set up tonight's game, and at 10 o'clock we'll send you down to CTC, where Steve Lloyd and company we'll host In the Box, taking you through right up until the pregame show tonight at 5. Dean and Gord will have the call. 7 o'clock tonight, Sens and Panthers here on TSN 1200. Still to come, in about 10 minutes, we're going to play Sens or Sensibility. Going to wrap the show with that. Jamie Baker is going to play his inaugural edition of Sens or Sensibility coming up in 10 minutes. If you'd like to play against Bakes and against Hammer, and if you beat one of them, you're going to the game Saturday night versus the Leafs. I think that's a pretty popular pair of tickets, especially when they're 100-level seats. That's what's up for grabs. If you'd like to play the game, text us right now at 12-1200. You got to be available in 10 minutes, though. So we need your first and last name, and just say, I'm here in 10 minutes at about 9:52 or so. All right, so we'll do that. And we'll send you down to Canadian Tire Center. Steve Lloyd, Chris Stevenson will be there at the rink getting set for the Sens and the Panthers coming up tonight. Of course, Ottawa goes into this game trailing Florida by 4 points. They're 7 back of Pittsburgh. With 9 games to play, but listen, they got to crawl over 4 teams to get into a playoff spot, Florida being one of them. Now, they're 4 points back, as mentioned, and they have 2 games left with Florida, so if they win both of them in regulation, then they'll at least have reeled in the Panthers. Are the Sens scoreboard watching? Here's Shane Pinto on that.
I say I don't, but I do. I mean, I think everyone does. I mean, it's just the reality of it, I think. You know, every night I'm looking at, those 3 or 4 teams that are in and hoping they lose. That's just human nature, I think. I mean, everyone on the team, I'm sure, looks. So, I'll definitely keep on scoreboard watching.
Was Jamie Baker a scoreboard watcher in his time when he played?
If I was in the playoff, I'd absolutely.
Yeah. Look at the they often have out-of-town scoreboard? Used to be it was on the ring sometimes. Now it's more they flash it up every once in a while on the big screen, and you don't really, at least I don't know that there's any rhyme or reason, they just put it up whenever. Would you have been, looking all the time, or just kind of like, and was it ever passed around, in an intermission? Was that something you guys
no.
would talk about?
No. No, nothing like that.
Okay.
Nothing like that. During a game, I remember they used to, in San Jose, they would be posting scores. If it was a TV timeout, and it caught my eye, I might look to see how a team was doing, but I wasn't seeking it out. I was be focused on that game.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I always you pay attention. It's like Pinto said, you're paying attention. How can you not? Especially for the guys on the team, and the coaches, this is their livelihood, and they want to make the playoffs, so they're going to keep an eye on what the guys they're chasing, the teams they're chasing, are doing.
So Ottawa's at 75 points. They've got 9 games left. They got Washington at 76. They're a point up on them, but Washington's also played a game more. Buffalo has also now gone ahead of them because they've won their last 2. They won back-to-back on the weekend, and the Sabres have a game in hand. So points percentage-wise, Buffalo's actually ahead of Ottawa. Then Florida, as mentioned, is 4 up, even in games played, and Pittsburgh is 7 up, also even in games played. So the maximum number of points the Sens can get to is 93. Right now, the Islanders are at 83 and Pittsburgh is at 82. So, again, the odds are long. We calculated this morning, 9 games left. At worst, they can go 8-1.
Yeah.
At worst.
I talked about this on the pregame show last Thursday when the Sens were hosting Tampa, and I was with Lee. And if the Sens don't make the playoffs, I would love to see them, even if they're in ninth place, set the bar where next year the expectations are making the playoffs anyway, mm-hmm. but the higher they can set the bar this year is like, that's the bare minimum for next year. That's from my standpoint. So
I understand, keep pushing
your way up there, like, and get a taste of these, make these games consequential, you know, coming down the stretch. Like, so that's what I'm hoping for, because it's experience for the young guys. They get a taste of it, and they get also a taste of the disappointment of being like 3 points out and then right. going on the road trip. Like, they were frustrated because of, you know, how that road trip played out, and it kind of put them behind the eight ball a little bit. Well, that's good. Like, remember that so it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, that's a great point. The disappointment of the road trip from a couple of weeks ago, but also to think back to the lost month of November, right? When they really, realistically, that's when they shot themselves in the foot.
Yes.
If and when they come up short, that's where the season was dictated there. So if you're looking for something while you're deciding whether you want to do another half hour workout in the summer or not, maybe that's your incentive of, hey, it's not just at the end of the season, we had a 5-game road trip that didn't go, you know, the way we hoped. We had about a month long stretch between late October and late November in which we sucked. And that's really the reason, you know, in part, that we didn't make the playoffs.
You just can't fall behind the eight ball in the NHL nowadays, but especially how much parity there is in the Eastern Conference. You just can't do it. They've been chasing ever since the end of November. They've been in chase mode, and they almost got there. They got within 3 points,
yep.
but it was really hard for them to sustain that. They were playing so well there for a little while. It's mm-hmm. like the only team that has sustained that type of level of play all year is Boston. Everyone else there's peaks and valleys. That's to be expected. But yeah, don't put yourself behind the eight ball. And if they had just switch two of those games in November, and they're right in the thick of it right now.
Right.
You know, and now the conversation is completely different. But learning lesson for next year, like, it can't just be words, you know, coming into the year that they need to have a good start. Like, they need to have a good start. They know it, though. Like, there's no one knows it more than, like, we can talk about it, but no one knows it more than the players. I can tell you that.
Dylan Ferguson was such a great story in his first NHL start. Was a week ago tonight, last Monday, right, in Pittsburgh. Then ended up getting sick and missed the next game, and really wasn't even under consideration to play on Thursday against Tampa. They did put him in on Saturday, and it's great. I've correctly fitted on my hindsight as 2020 glasses right now as I ask this question. But with Mads Søgaard having played, I think we all agree, even though he lost pretty well in Boston, and then, you know, he was good against Tampa, and he got the win in that one. Were you surprised they went to Ferguson and not back to Søgaard on Saturday?
Yes. I thought they would go back with Søgaard just because, you know,
because he's their prospective number one guy going forward.
And he just kind of he just found his confidence.
Yeah.
That's more why, you know, like on the road trip, I'm not blaming him for the losses, but he was giving, you know, the team wasn't playing great in front of him, but it can't be fun when you're a goalie and you're giving up 5 goals a night. Like that's not fun. And that's not helping your confidence. As Brady came out, he goes, he's been thrown to the fire here, but we support him 100%. And, you know, he lost the one game, close game to Boston, played well, really well, beats Tampa. So I thought they would come back. But at the same time, Dylan Ferguson earned another start by the way he played against Pittsburgh. How do you know that he's not going to replicate that kind of performance without trying it? So mm-hmm. I thought once Søgaard won a game and had played well that they would probably go back with him. So, but at the same time, I'm good with them giving Ferguson an opportunity just right. because he did earn it with the way he stole that game in Pittsburgh.
Cam Talbot looks like he was back on the ice yesterday, that he'll probably be ready to go in a game sometime later this week. How do you handle, let's throw out, hey, they're, you know, whether who they start in net plays any role of whether they're in the race or not, because I don't think it does, because they're starting goalies. They started Ferguson the game in Pittsburgh on last Monday when at that point that was, okay, got to reel in the Penguins. I don't know how you felt about it. I don't remember what you said at the time, but I kind of felt like, okay, well, if Sogard or Ferguson, there's one guy who's never played, never started a game, and he's played 9 minutes in his history, and I got another guy who, while has not played well, he's still my goalie of the future, and I was surprised they went with Ferguson. Obviously the right decision. So I guess my question in a long-winded way is, I mean, are you playing Talbot in a bunch of games here toward the end of the season, or how are you handling that?
I think it might be dictated on where the team is. If they're winning, you're going to play whatever goalie you think gives you the best chance to win, which they're going to do anyway. But if they lose tonight or Thursday and they, you know, it doesn't look like they're going to make the playoffs, then maybe you go into a rotational basis,
right,
where you're getting Talbot some games, but you're also, you know, you want Sogard to also get some more looks. Because you're giving him an opportunity, because he is like potentially the goaltender of the future. So is he going to be somebody that could be up here next year? If so, you want to give him more reps at the NHL level. It's the only way you can figure out if you can play in the NHL, is you got to get some games in the NHL. But, you know, before all of that, like, it's win at all costs, and you're going to go with the goalie who you think gives you the best opportunity to win that specific night.
Who will be, in your opinion, the two goaltenders, given if everybody's healthy, the two goaltenders to start next season here in Ottawa? So Forsberg was back on the ice yesterday, so it looks like he's making a recovery.
Yeah, I think Forsberg's going to be here.
He's got a contract. He's got two more years left on his contract. So contract.
What's Talbot got?
He's done after this year. He's a UFA. And Sogard, of course, is, at this point, he's still waiver eligible. So he could still go down to Belleville next year. So you don't have to have him.
Boy, it would be nice if they could just get healthy at this position. Last few
it's
years,
crazy,
it's
eh?
Just crazy. It's such an important position, and it's just hard. Even Ferguson, like, he comes up, he steals a game, and then he gets sick, and he's out for a little bit. I'm like, they can't buy a break at the goaltending position, and it's got to happen. Like, next year, it's got to happen. Like, you can't.
Well,
not a lot of teams have had the goalie injuries,
yes,
sickness, like.
Yeah. Goalie graveyard is what we call it here.
Yeah, like, it's just a turnstile here, and it's just been crazy the last 2 years, and it does impact your team. It just does. So I'm going to go with Forsberg and Sogard for next year.
Okay, so which is probably what it will end up being. My caveat to that, though, is if we all agree that the start to next year, like we've said for so many years in a row, the start is so important that they can't deal themselves out of it next year, you're going to be starting next season with a goaltender coming back from, you know, double knee ligament tears.
It's just hard to believe that happens.
Yeah, so. Okay. Which is a fairly unprecedented injury, but he's skating, so okay.
You can take the word fairly out of that. Just go with unprecedented.
Right? Okay. and you know, Mads Sogard, who, you know, is
earning,
he's
getting some reps at the NHL level.
Yeah.
He's trying to figure out the league.
That says to me, if we're to rank 1 through 32 in terms of confidence in your goalies to start next year, if that's who Ottawa's putting out there, they're in the bottom 10 of the NHL.
Well, then maybe they try and sign Talbot or go out and get somebody, you know, for a year or two and allow Sogard to get more reps at the American Hockey League level. That's where Pierre Dorion and hockey operations, they've got some big decisions to make this summer, and I don't know if there's any more pressing. You know, you look at the forwards, the top six are good, like the top line's been great. You've got all these young players, you know, under contract for long term. Like the organization's such great shape moving forward. You've solidified the D. It looks really good. And now it's like the most pressing matter is going to be the goaltending decision, they're going to do.
It could be fine.
Yeah.
But you don't know. And man alive, I don't, you know, and I said to start this year, jobs were on the line with a good start. Turns out that, you know, the coach remained, the general managers remained throughout the year, despite a bad start. I'll say the same thing again for next, you know, should they remain through an ownership change? We'll find out whether, you know, how that changes things, if it does at all. But to start next year, pressure will be on the organization again to win games. Man alive, would I feel uncomfortable if I was the GM and or the coach and my job was partly based on my confidence in the two goaltenders that you say may start next season.
Which, another reason why you see some games Matt Sogard playing some games down the stretch here, just to see how he handles the NHL competition. Like, to be fair, so then you make your decision at the end of the season. That said, like, that's where it looks like it may go now, but they may be thinking we need to go get a veteran goalie of some sort to come in next year. And just how could you not also have to think about a backup plan based on all the injuries that you've had at the goaltender position? You know, you're like, there's no guarantee that those two guys are going to be, you know, stay healthy the whole season based on recent history. So you need a backup plan. One of those might be, let's make sure we've got a veteran guy here.
Yeah. In your mind, should that be, if he was willing to take a, and in a perfect world, maybe you'd have a guy in a one-year contract? If Cam Talbot was willing to take a one-year contract, would you do that?
Yes. Yes, I would do that.
You've seen enough from him this year, too?
Yes. I mean, he hasn't been healthy. He hasn't been healthy enough.
Yeah, but inconsistent as well, though.
Like, yeah. So he, like the goalies, like Ferguson was one of the rare times where a goalie really stole the game. But I also, I don't think the goalies have played terrible this year. I think they've been good.
Yeah, like, no, I think it's been adequate.
Yeah. So I think they've been good, but you want to push good to great. You know, you want to take it to the next level. And I think Talbot has new team, new system, and also he's been banged up a little bit this year. So he never really got in a total rhythm where he was like, okay, I'm going to run with this for a little while. So
if there was some magical goalie that was out there, I'll bring up, you know, at one point, maybe Thatcher Demko was said to be out there as available. I don't know that that's the case any longer, but let's say there is that type of goalie available. It's going to take a significant trade to bring that piece in, whatever that might be. Would you do that?
I would definitely ponder it. It's such an important... I'm just...
I would definitely ponder that.
I would. I don't know, because it's your it's a big hedge either way.
I know. Hedging.
Yeah, I would I would definitely consider.
I would well, of course you would definitely.
I'm just telling you my answer.
Well, your answer is a non-answer.
Because I
because you want more time to definitely ponder it? how about a 3-minute break?
I would lean towards it. So I'm not 100% on it.
Steve Lloyd is listening right now at Canadian. Ask him again during the pregame show tonight in this all Jamie Baker day on TSN 1200.
Oh, my God. Too much. It's too much.
9:54. We're going to take a final break.
Pondering.
We're going to play Sense or Sensibility. We got a contestant? Amber, you got one ready to go? All right. Stand by. We'll have that, and then we'll send you down to CTC. Steve Lloyd, Chris Stevenson standing by to host In the Box. It's Lee and Creature on the drive this afternoon at 2, pregame show at 5, including a visit with NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman. Dean and Gord will have the call. It's a big game tonight. Kachuk's going at it really for the first time in a meaningful game for both. Tonight at 7, Sens and Panthers on TSN 1200. Paul is our contestant to play Sens or Sensibility. How you doing, Paul?
Not too bad. How are you?
Excellent. Say hi to former National Hockey Leaguer Jamie Baker.
Hey, Jamie. How are you?
Nice to meet you, Paul. Hey, I got a question. Are you a good guy?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Why is that a question? Of course he's a good guy. He listens to the station.
Well, I just wanted to confirm it because then I want him to win.
Well, no. You're trying to beat him. You told me you're the most competitive person around. You want to beat Paul.
Well, I also have a compassionate side. He's got a chance to get lower bowl seats to go see the Leafs on Saturday. Yeah. I don't know. This is
the conundrum that you're in right now. When you step on this show,
I'm helping another human being.
Yeah. Are you?
Or am I not?
Paul, you're familiar with the game?
Yes, sir.
What's the...
Five, you want to beat him.
Okay.
Five beat questions.
All right. Sorry, Paul.
Five questions. It's an either or. You want to pick the answer you believe will end in a higher number. Okay?
Yep.
If you get one more right, then either Bakes or Hammer, you're on your way to the game on Saturday. Okay.
Perfect.
Here you go. You'll go last. Hammer, you get to go first.
Oh, wow.
Here we go. Number one, total goals in tonight's Sens-Panthers game, total goals, or the winning team's total runs in the Jays-Phillies exhibition game. In other words, if it's 9-4, the number is 9. Okay?
Yeah.
So total goals in the hockey game tonight or total of the winning team in the Jays-Phillies exhibition game.
Jeez, FanDuel had it at 7.5, the over-under. I'm thinking big scores here for the combined. But I never bet against baseball, so give me the Jays and Phils.
All right.
I picked the over on FanDuel, so I'm going to go with the hockey game.
Now you're going with the hockey game? Okay, Paul, which way are you going?
Baseball.
Baseball Jays. It is. Okay. You're on your own already, Bakes. Number two, And Hammer, you'll be required to measure this. So this comes from the first time he utters his first word, as in, you're welcome. The total time of the Gary Bettman interview on the TSN 1200 pregame show rounded to the nearest minute, or send shots on goal in the second period of tonight's game. So the length of the Gary Bettman interview on the pregame show, or send shots on goal in the second period. Hammer.
I'm thinking Gary's going to go a nice 21 minutes, and I like that to be the lead here. So, well, Gary Bettman is not short answer man.
He's got a lot to do, though.
He's got the time for Steve Lord in the center.
You got Bettman?
Give me Bettman.
All right, Bakes.
I'm going with Bettman, too.
Okay. Paul, you making it a sweep, or what are you doing?
Bettman.
Okay, the Batman. Give us the Batman. Number three, here we go. Matthew Tkachuk, goals plus points, or Brady Tkachuk, goals plus points. So in other words, a goal counts double, right? So you get the goal and you get the point. So Tkachuk, goals plus points, Matthew or Brady? Hammer.
Brady.
Wow.
Why is that a wow?
Okay, I don't know, because you just told me that Matthew Tkachuk is the MVP this year. Paul. Yeah,
I got to go Brady.
As a sweep.
Okay, Paul, don't forget, you got to beat them, right?
Yeah, okay. You know what? Maybe I'll take his brother.
Okay, smart move.
Matty.
Fourth one. Total games in Felix Auger-Aliassime's match at the Miami Open today. It's a maximum three sets. So total games. In other words, six love would be 12.
Who's he playing?
Some guy I never heard of. Or Jake Sanderson's ice time rounded to the nearest minute. Felix playing some guy I don't know.
Who comes
total
up with
games?
This?
It's only three sets.
Oh,
okay?
Yeah. Oh, no, no.
Right,
no.
What
please
do you got?
Give me Sandy Sanderson.
Okay. Who comes up with these questions? Who do you think? Who does everything on this?
5 minutes ago.
All right. What do you got?
That's an impressive question. I'll go with Sanderson.
You're agreeing with Hammer way too much. Okay, Paul, you going on your own or are you going with the boys?
Great minds.
Go on my own.
Nice. Love it. Last one. Total block shots in tonight's Sens-Panthers games. That's both teams. Total block shots or Joel Embiid points for the Sixers versus the Nuggets. Potential NBA final. All right. Total block shots, both teams, hockey game, or Joel Embiid points. Potential MVP this year. Points versus the Nuggets.
All right, Kenny hovering behind me just gave me both answers. I got to pick one. I'm going block shots, red hot with the block shots.
Okay, Bakes.
Joel Embiid.
Thank you for not choosing Hammer's answer. Paul?
Basketball.
Basketball it is. Paul, we're going to do up the math tomorrow and let you know the good news. Hopefully you're on your way to see the Sens and the Leafs on Saturday. Have a great day.
Good luck, Paul.
You too, thanks. Bye.
You feel happy with your choices?
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about the whole competition.
Oh, is this another thing? Like,
I don't know how I feel about it because I know he's a good guy. I kind of want to see him go, but I want to beat him at the same time.
How about you beat him and have Hammer lose? That would be the best case scenario because he just has to beat one of you guys.
Okay, so I'm happy with my answers then.
Okay, that works. Okay, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having
me. Did you have fun?
I did. Went very well.
Will you come back?
I'll be back Wednesday.
Okay.
I'll be here at...
If 4 hours of Jamie Baker wasn't enough, everybody,
I asked you not to keep saying it.
2 hours.
It's hurting
on the
my ears.
Show.
Why are we finishing this way?
And another
here we
hour
got
and
along.
A half on the postgame. That's 7.5 hours.
Things were moving along nicely. I thought we were going to finish with a nice cherry on top, and then you go do that.
Blame Brad Smith having to coach in the U18 AAA final tonight. That's the only reason things ended up the way they did.
Go shoot or go.